Okay.
Good. Okay, so one of the great passions in my life is evangelism. I've been thinking about this for a few weeks and decided it'd be awesome to talk about this week and next week, and then the third week still left in the air. I won't be here and David won't be here, so we'll see what that ends up becoming. It might be just sharing some stories that you guys have from, like, over the next few weeks, maybe stepping out and trying to share your faith with someone. It's also the night before National Prayer Day of May 7th, so they might just make it like a full night of prayer, but we'll see.
We're going to talk about y'all.
What's that? You could.
Neither one of you are going to be here. We'll talk about
yes,
y'all.
Yes, that'd be good too.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah. So, one of the mental pictures of evangelism that helps me, I think of myself as a broken ship that God's put back together and that He is continuing to repair, but that He sets sail and reaches people for. So hopefully tonight the passion for evangelism is shared a little bit. And then the start of it for me was back in college, sophomore year, White Sulphur Springs, Pennsylvania. There was a man by the name of Mark Cahill who wrote this book, which is One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. Any of these books, feel free to grab and read through and just return whatever. But One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, the answer to that is share your faith with a non-believer, because there are no non-believers in heaven. But he specifically talked about why we should share our faith, why people don't, and how to. And so broke all like the excuses that we had and also equipped us and just stirred, kind of lit the fire in me to share. So perfect timing. Then from that, I was just out trying in different ways. And we'll talk more about how to when we get to that section. I'll give some examples of my time in college. But for the first slide, there we go. So he says, can't share with your faith with a non-believer once you're in heaven. These are the things that we'll talk over today. So why should we share our faith? I guess you've gotten a quick glance at it, but if I were to ask you guys in discussion, what would you say on why we should share our faith? True. Yeah. It's very much Romans 10 talks about that, how, you know, the feet of those who bring good news are wonderful, and how will they hear if they've never been told? And so, yeah, that's a good one. There's no other way that people would hear unless God miraculously tells them. What other way? What other reasons should we share our faith?
To clarify why we are the way we are. Because if we leave it up to our actions only and say, well, they can just watch how I live my life, well, those can be misinterpreted very easily.
Yes.
But when you turn around and tell them, this is why I did that, mm-hmm. or why I do that,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it clarifies it. So it clarifies there's a reason,
yeah.
a heavenly or a godly reason for living the way we do.
Yes. And to that point, if you're like, well, I'm just going to show Jesus by the things I do and the way I act. It's like, well, there's a lot of, I mean, you can meet like really nice people that are Muslim or Mormon or whatever it is, and they're not, you don't hear the gospel just from your actions. And sometimes we represent Christ poorly, so I definitely don't want them to base it off just my actions either.
So far, all the Mormons I've met were wonderful people.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, exactly.
But their message isn't
yeah.
acceptable for me.
Yeah.
So.
Good. So, yeah, for others to hear the gospel, to clarify what we believe using our words.
Just like, you know, you're like starting to say this, but I want to go ahead a bit, went back to your first scripture, which is in Matthew, which just says Jesus came up and spoke to them and mm-hmm. saying, fact, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Spirit, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we're told.
God commands us to. Yes. Yeah. Good. Let's see. I'm checking some of these off already, so we've got why we should, obedience. Yep. Yeah, that's part of it too. Any other reasons why we should think about the receiver of the gospel?
Well, why wouldn't we want them to know the same thing we
know? Why wouldn't we? Or was it?
Yeah, why? Yeah. I mean, we share because we want them to end up where we.
Yeah, we care about them.
You know?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want them to be able to join us?
Yeah.
I mean, that you know, there is life after death, and you have to make that choice this side of death. And,
mm-hmm. And you don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah, that's
be tomorrow.
Sure.
Right? So that's another good one.
Maybe because we were commanded to.
Yes. Yeah, which Pam mentioned briefly.
And I think what Nate Doug would be saying when he's, what Doug was, is that the scripture that you can use for the. Second Corinthians 5:20, where it says, therefore we are ambassadors mm-hmm. for Christ, as through Christ we're making an appeal through us. I think that's kind of what Doug was, you know, saying, that we actually are ambassadors.
Yeah. Yeah, that ties in a few of them. But yeah, that's excellent. The only other one is our personal joy and growth, at least, so I'll also preface, a lot of these thoughts have been taken from that book because it was very inspirational. He spoke that weekend and had more lengthy lectures on it. So these are some of the reasons that he mentioned why we should share our faith in the book, but also it made sense to talk about tonight. So some things are from the book, some are just additional. But yeah, personal joy and growth. So when we get to see someone come to faith, or we get to disciple them, or like verse memory, it has helped me a lot when there's an important, or there's the most important message in the world tied to the verse that I'm trying to memorize. So you know, every once in a while you come across a verse and you're like, man, that hits really hard. Easier to memorize that way. Any other reasons you guys can think of why we should share our faith? And then we'll go to the next part of why people don't.
When you see somebody that's hurting, that is under oppression of something, mm-hmm. they need deliverance.
Yeah.
So the only way they're going to get delivered is if they do something. A lot of people go to rehab.
Yeah.
Give people hope.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, the things that we go through in our own personal life, you know, so many times, how would you be able to do that without the Lord?
Yeah.
And when these people have these tragic things happen in their life, He is the only way you can get them.
Yeah.
I think also not necessarily challenge what you believe, mm-hmm. but by sharing it, it will sharpen and, you know, different ways solidify that foundation of what you do believe.
Okay.
And when you're having that conversation with somebody that may not be a believer or has a different, you know, a Pentecostal versus a Baptist, you know, whatever the denomination is, they may, through that conversation, change something about what they believe. Or you might, you know, have to really pray about, okay, do I still believe this? Mm-hmm. After hearing that? You know, so it just kind of opens that door to God challenging and continuing to grow your faith through them.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah, you're being open. Because sometimes they have an opposing view. You're like, okay, yeah, I haven't considered that. So yeah, you grow through being open that way. The other one line I put in here is that for Stevens County, there's 48 deaths per month and 575 annually. There's a statistic that two people die every second. It's like 150,000 every day, but it brings it more personal to us to think about, you know, how many friends do we have that have passed this year or this month? 20,000 in Stevens County, and or in Duncan rather. Stevens County is much larger, but we will know some of these people, and especially over the course of however long we've been here, it just keeps adding more and more. Okay. This I intentionally left open. You guys have the notes with you as well, but some of these are pretty easy to squash, and we can go out of order. But these are the most common reasons people don't share their faith. The number one reason being fear of rejection, which I have a specific slide for. We'll talk about in a moment, but let's go to number two. So they don't know how to share their faith. What is a counter to that? If you believe, I don't know how to share my faith, why is that not a sufficient reason to not share your faith?
I think it's a sufficient reason not to. Like, I don't know what to say, but it's not a good excuse for why you're not sharing your faith, because you should learn how to.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And if you're a Christian, then you have come to that faith. So at least there's some inkling of, like, memory of that, too.
Not everybody comes from the same background. Like, I was raised Orthodox, and evangelism is, like, bluntly just not a thing.
Yeah.
And so it was never taught, and so now I'm an adult, and I genuinely did not know how to share my faith, because
yes.
I couldn't even articulate really what my faith was.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you personally can't tell yourself what your faith is, then you can't go share it with somebody else, because you don't even know where to start, and then that's where, like, heresy comes in.
Yeah.
So I think it's a valid reason, but it's not a good excuse.
Yeah. And these, one reason why we go over some of the tools to help, right, so that you're more equipped, but very fair point.
I think you can also say that they can just share their testimony. Testimony in and of itself is the actions of the gospel in their life. And so if you've had that time and everything in that testimony, mm-hmm. you can share that with the person.
Yeah. On that note for lazy, we'll jump to five. There's a stat that says about 2% of professing Christians share their faith. There was Zondervan in 2000 said about 97% of church members have no involvement in evangelism. And then Christianity Today survey, 1% of people had witnessed to someone recently. So it's very convicting when you think about, like, how even myself, I was passionate about this sophomore year of college, and then there's ebbs and flows where I, like, haven't shared at all, or maybe I'll get on a plane and I'm just kind of conditioned to look for an opportunity to talk to the people next to me on the plane. But it's convicting when I think about how many opportunities have I missed or not been praying over people to look for those opportunities. But okay, fear of losing a friend. Number three, how can we counter that reason for not sharing your faith?
I think that's a hard one. I just have something that's not, it wasn't because I was with Christian people, but we had a conversation this week about, like, right and wrong, Christian beliefs, you know, what the black and white kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, I had my opinion, but I wasn't sure that some of my friends there might have the same opinion of it being, like, black and white, it wasn't on salvation, you know.
Yeah.
And I was hesitant to say what I thought, because I thought these are longtime friendships, if I took a definite stand, mm-hmm. that might, you know.
And these are friends that are
a wedge, you know, between that, you know, kind of thing. And I'm not sure how the outcome would kind of just, I think, all kind of maybe went around it, unfortunately, you know, type of thing. But I think that's what it does. Or I have another friend who is a believer, as far as they've been in church off and on, but now they don't go to church at all. You know, and I want to say, why? You know, I don't understand that, but I am afraid. Because I'm afraid if I really, I don't know how to quite do that without maybe putting a wedge or making them uncomfortable, and I don't really know what to say or how to approach that, I guess is what I would say. So I definitely understand that fear, you know.
And it seems to be easier with people that we don't have those long-term relationships with, because there's like a fear of burning the bridge, and these are specifically if I know they're a non-believer. I think a counter to the fear of losing a friend is, well, we don't know when we or they will die, and so we might have 20 years with them, but then where will they be for eternity? So it's like and sometimes it takes a really honest, hey, we've been friends for a while, but I haven't shared this with you. Can you just listen for a minute? Or what I want to ask is, what do you think happens when we pass, or whatever it is, to just start out really honestly with them of, I've neglected to tell you this for a while. It's the most important thing to me, and I want to talk about it with you, but I didn't know how to. So that kind of helps break the barriers. But to be a good friend, we should be telling them the truth.
I think you're lying if you're trying to insinuate that you're never going to lose a friend over sharing the gospel. And I think that that's okay, that sometimes you might lose a friend. And I think of an example of one of my best friends from Hawaii lost her best friend, like maid of honor and everything, because she became a Christian, and stopped living like the very worldly lifestyle she was living in college and everything. And her best friend was not cool with that, and she was like, you're not fun anymore, like I don't like the whole Jesus gig, and they literally don't talk at all anymore.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And that's okay, and my friend says that it was, like, one, she's obviously not going to go back from being a Christian, but also that was very much so, like, God's divinity in ending that friendship, because she didn't need to be surrounded by her anymore. She didn't need to have that influence. And then since they've stopped being friends, that person has gotten into like a ton of trouble as well. Yeah. And she just didn't need to be around that. Like, God was ultimately protecting her from that person.
Yeah. Well, I think God allows friendships to come and go anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain people that will be in your life forever. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, you know, I had my best friend when I was 4. We haven't talked in a couple of years, but if I called her up and needed something, or if I wanted to talk, it would be like nothing, you know, no time has passed. My maid of honor and I don't talk anymore. I mean, we stop talking, you know, and so it just, I feel like you have to trust that if God wants that friendship to come back, he will bring those opportunities for it to happen. And then, like you said, if he wants that to end, then he's going to orchestrate the circumstances for that.
You might be the only friend that was honest enough with them to mm-hmm. share the gospel. And, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll rapid fire through some of these. Then we'll go back to the first one, and then we'll go to the how-to. So they've already heard. There's a statistic that about 7 times, someone might hear the gospel 7 times before they actually make a decision. So you don't know whether you're number 1 or 75 or however many times they're going to hear it along that path. We've already covered 5. Actions only evangelism. Doug mentioned a little bit of, hey, I'm an ambassador, but without words, you might just think I'm a nice person. And so we need to be vocal about our faith as well. I don't know enough. Hey, the Holy Spirit will help you. And if you're a believer, you know far more about life in the spirit than a non-believer would. So being able to share what has been truth for you and like difficult things, it goes into the, I can't answer the big questions. It is okay if you don't know how to answer it. It's an opportunity for you to follow up with them. Hey, I looked into that question. That was really good. Can we sit down and talk about it? And then number eight, they won't want to talk about it. Very rarely do I get like, no, I don't, maybe it's just the time. I don't have the time for this right now. Almost never do I have someone just outright say, oh, I don't talk about those things with people. And you'll find there's a lot of people who, especially if you're praying for, I'm seeking an opportunity to talk with someone or this specific person, they might say, man, like just last week I was thinking about that. Or someone else shared with me 3 days ago, and now you're the second person in my whole life that's ever shared the gospel with me, and I don't know what God's trying to do here. There's plenty of stories behind all these, but the first one, the fear of being rejected, there are three things that could happen. They could accept the message, which is good, and you feel like you're winning. A seed could be planted, which is good, and you're winning, or might get rejected, which feels bad, and you're losing. Except, if we think about 1 Peter 4:14, if you are rejected for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit and glory of God rest upon you. And then also Luke, similar to the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are you when you men hate you, when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Great is your reward in heaven. So that helps move it to from 66% good to 100% good. And even if it was 60% good, still be a wonderful outcome. But no matter, even if you're rejected, it is all right. In fact, there was a one of the reflections in the book, he said there's some college kids that took this to heart, and when they would go share the gospel and get rejected, they would high-five each other and be like, ching, and say, we're gaining rewards in heaven for being rejected. So, anyway, mind shift to that, which, again, doesn't happen very often. How to? Okay, so starting with the normal conversations and transitioning to spiritual conversations has been a good fundamental, and I would say this too, I think, there's many different tools out there. So whatever ways you learn, whatever ways you're trying, there's no like one specific way that you must do that. If you learn the Roman road, that's awesome. If you've learned, you know, I'm gonna look at the Ten Commandments and just talk through those, and now you feel the guilt of your sin, let's talk about the redeeming work of Christ. That's another great method. But these are just some baselines. Without God moving, you're hopeless, right? So we are fervently praying for the people that we're going to talk to. And then whatever tools that we learn, that's good too. But it's always a conversation and not a presentation through whatever it is that you learned. Okay, so start with natural conversations, moving to eternal questions. Number two, always address sin, repentance, and the cross. Must be. Without sin, they don't understand why they need a Savior. Without repentance, they might just think that we're going to learn from Jesus' example, but I'm going to hold on to this sin, which I dearly love. And then, obviously, without the cross, there is no good news of salvation. Number three is changing it from like I have to do this to a get to mentality, I think is really important. So we get to share the gospel. It's sometimes relegated to those that have the gift of evangelism. I'll challenge you on there's, you know, no passage that says you have to have the gift of reading your Bible or the gift of prayer. I think that evangelism is a skill that we develop, and that those, like, there's apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher in Ephesians. I want to say Ephesians. But I don't think it is a spiritual gift of evangelism. It's, you might be more outgoing or cater to it, but the main thing is that we're all commanded in the Great Commission to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's always winning. So we went through the chart of whether you're rejected or a seed is planted or the message is received. Either way, it's always winning. The tracts, I have a few on the table. I think that it can be helpful starting points or even ending points. I like it more as an ending point of, we had a great conversation and hey, here's something, maybe a small pamphlet that's been helpful. One that I've liked is Am I a Rotten Fish? Which is great for Christian culture, Bible Belt. But anyway, it can be good to hand them something to continue to think about after the conversation. And then four deadly questions. I had them in the sheet handout, but it was, how did you come to believe that? What evidence do you have for that? How do you know that to be true?
Where do you get your information from? What if you are wrong?
Thank you. Yes.
So using those to, you know, when someone says something and they just believed it, and you say, how do you know that to be true? It puts the emphasis back on them to kind of prove their point, and often they see it break down, and then you can lead with the truth that you know. And then practice. So whatever sports or activities you guys do, you know that it takes a lot of practice to get good at whatever you're trying to get good at. Same thing with evangelism. It's not often, I would say when I started, it's kind of clunky. I was trying to be faithful to God, but like as things progress, you're more comfortable with where the conversation's going. You know what to ask, or yeah, some verses to memorize, or even like historical things that you can use. So the main thing is practicing it will help a lot, and we'll do that again next week, more in depth. We'll do that for the first time next week, and then go more in depth. I would also say it helps to build a list of who you're praying for, like what spheres of influence God has specifically put you in, praying that God would give you opportunities to witness to them. So my challenge for the next few weeks is to try to share the gospel with at least one person this week. I won't have like, you know, show of hands or whatever next week, but I think third week would be great to talk about, and you'll see how it makes you uncomfortable and challenges you, but God often develops us most when we're in places that are uncomfortable. So, plenty of questions to be had.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I got to go to this next one. Good quote from Spurgeon. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go there unwarned or unprayed for. So, a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of different methods, but at the end of it, we pray, we step out in faith, and we ask for God to bless the fruits of whatever labors that we have. So, any questions? Super open-ended. What do you guys want to talk about? And then we'll close with some prayer and reflection. Bye. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're good.
I've always liked C.S. Lewis's quote that Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important.
Mm-hmm.
So you treat that the way you can treat talking to people about it. You can't just, you have to, like I said, you have to pray to have that passion, you have to pray for those opportunities to come, you have to pray for the words that will come out of your mouth, and, and be that instrument.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a challenging and convicting thing to not treat
bringing others to Christ as we're called to as a moderately important thing.
Yeah, if I were to say, you know, do we care about the salvation of those that are lost? I think everyone in the room would say, yeah. Do we care enough to do something about it? Whatever that something might be is the harder question. Yeah. Okay, no questions. We'll take a minute just to pray and ask God what he desires for you to do in response, and then I'll close us in prayer. So it'll be a whole minute of awkward silence, but that'd be good. God, we thank you that in Christ you were reconciling the world to yourself and not counting their trespasses against them, and that you've committed to us the message of reconciliation. Thank you that we get to be ambassadors for Christ and that God is making his appeal through us. And God, thank you that you have brought us to yourself through Christ's work. Help us to understand how you see the world and how you see these people that are lost. Give us a heart for sharing your truth with them. I pray that you would give us clear opportunities and help us to be seeking for those opportunities. I'm reminded in Luke 12:12 that the Holy Spirit will instruct us on what we ought to say. God, thank you that you know what they need to hear. And maybe it's not even the words that they hear, but that they get a sense that we genuinely care about them. And they leave one step closer to wanting to learn more about you and give their life to you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for people like Mark Cahill and books that he writes. We love you. Help us to be ambassadors for you in words and not just actions. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.